claims. Actual results based on individual claims.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast.
We are on location, aren't we, my friend?
We are indeed.
Explain to our listeners where we are and why we are here.
Well, we're at the International UFO Congress, the 2012 edition, and this is the largest UFO convention, I think, in the world, if I'm not mistaken. And it also features a wonderful pool of Kool-Aid that true believers love to frolic in and have their way with each other.
All right, explain to our listeners what you mean by the Kool-Aid.
Well, I've really not enjoyed going to many of these conferences in the past because of the lack of critical thinking, I think, in a lot of the attendees. This year, though, we have a film in the film festival for the EBE Awards, so I kind of made it my point to be down here for the whole soiree. And it's very interesting walking around and listening to some of the conversations of people that have totally suspended all disbelief in scientific rationalism as they go into booths and have scans for implants and buy little alien heads and little tchotchkes. I brought enough calamine lotion this year for the rashes that I tend to break out in, though, around these types of events. So,
Scan for...
Alien implants, yeah.
Okay, scan for alien implants. How do you do that?
I haven't checked out the technology. The guy evidently is a medical technologist, if you will, and he has devised some sort of interesting device that he waves over your body and implants show up. Of course, Stan Romanek has four, count them, four in each arm. You know, the guy evidently is really popular with the anal probe set.
Huh. It kind of reminds me of that statue you got.
Yeah.
It looks like a thin, long something. No, it's an ET. It's actually an ET.
Yeah, that's okay. The EB.
The EB.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our film, It Could Happen Tomorrow, which is a compilation documentary representing disc one of a five-disc set. We have 20 hours of some of our top ufologists discussing the disclosure topic. And I was asked to come in and co-produce the documentary, the standalone hour documentary that encapsulates the whole 20 hours. And we entered it into the long form film category for the EBE Award. And we won. And that's quite gratifying. And we also won the People's Choice Award, which is even doubly gratifying.
No, it sounds like something that you really have to be proud of. You get the statue. You don't get like a check for $10,000.
No, so.
At a round trip to Tahiti or something.
I am surprised I didn't win an all-expense-paid vacation to Sedona.
How about all-expense-paid vacation to Mars or something?
I mean, that would be cool. I'd have to work out a little bit to get ready for the spacesuit, but...
Well, you know, you have to do a lot of walking.
Right.
You know, watch the hamburgers and the fries.
Right. Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
And no ice cream sandwiches.
No.
No bagels.
Cut down on the beer.
Definitely cut down the beer.
Yep.
And you'd be all set to make that trip?
Yeah.
But, you know, congratulations, because, you know, you're standing in there, and things like this are very hard to predict.
They are. I didn't think we had a snowball's chance in hell in winning, because I've kind of disenfranchised myself with some of the open minds, true believers. My radical sort of views are not well received in some circles.
Okay.
And so it was very gratifying to see acknowledgement of a three-year process of 1,000-plus hours of work that went into this project. And then when they called us up and said, you know, come on and back up for the People's Choice Award, that was, you know, that was kind of sweet vindication, I guess.
Now, how did this work? How did they make the selection? People's Choice, does that mean people who attend this event vote for you?
Yeah, they have ballots at all the tables. And if you've seen the films, a lot of people, of course, haven't seen them all. But if you've seen a film that you like, you rate it from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. And then they tabulate while the other award ceremony is going on. They tabulate the results in the back, and then they announce the People's Choice Award winner right there. It's kind of like a People's Academy, basically. And because our film was very serious, it has historic implications in that it is the most extensive, in-depth look at the subject of disclosure. The other films were nice, they were entertaining, but they didn't really have the gravitas. They didn't have all the big names, the ufology. We had 25 of the top ufologists in there. I could rattle the list off. We've had them all on the show. It definitely kind of was head and shoulders subject matter-wise, I think, over the other entries. So it was really a no-brainer. One of our producers, Ronald James, who we're going to have on the show here in the near future, he told me he had to go back to L.A. before the awards, so he couldn't attend. But he said, oh, come on, Chris, you know, it's not only are we going to win the best film, we're going to win the People's Choice Award, because it was a very serious project, and we really put a lot of time into it. It's interesting, though, I'm one of three dissenting views in the piece.
Now, how does that turn out? You join me in saying this disclosure thing is not going to gain traction.
No.
I mean, we've been trying since 1955 in Major Valentino.
Yeah, I mean, what part of that do people here not understand?
Sure.
I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that the government's ever going to admit that they've been lying to us for 60 years. And even if they did tell us the truth, we could never know if it was the truth because they've been lying.
Because we don't believe the government. By the way, parenthetically, the microphone we are using to capture this episode of the Paracast
is rolling down the hill.
Is from Blue Mike. It is called The Snowball.
And boy, the snowball started rolling down the hill, and we had some fun. You know, the whole subject of disclosure, Gene, is one that, you know, I've been very public about my feelings about the possibility that that could ever happen. And I find it interesting that I was selected to be the one to put together an objective journalistic view of the subject. So I really had to bend over backwards, pardon the expression, to maintain a real objective point of view when I was editing and putting the piece together. Because
now, listening to all the people, editing it, or listening to all the speeches, probably 10 times to get the edits right.
110 times.
All right, 110 times.
Yeah.
Okay, I was being conservative. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, you heard this film 110 times coming down to the final edit. Then you listen to the final edit to make sure you don't have to tweak it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a simple process, folks, making a professional caliber film.
No,
this is the real deal. Okay, so did anything in what you heard change any of your opinions?
No, it didn't. But what it did do was educate me about why we are in this position now here in 2012 with 60 plus years of background information that was presented by our very, very, you know, fine researchers in the project that are featured. And what's interesting about this particular film called It Could Happen Tomorrow, which is an interesting title based on my opinion. But what's interesting is Jennifer Stein, one of our producers who we're going to be talking to, she came up with the idea, instead of interviewing these people talking into a camera, let's interview them talking to each other. So it's almost like you have an inside view on private conversations between ufologists. And that was a brilliant idea. And it really makes for a compelling repartee between ufologists. And they're able to let their hair down and really give you some insight into their private, you know, their private thinking. And it just translates so well on film when it's a conversation between equals instead of having somebody under the glare of lights talking into a camera.
Well, it sounds like something that is going to be a lot of fun to watch, especially the 5-DVD set.
Yeah.
Because you get to see, what, 5-6 hours of material?
I think it's 2 hours per, so it's 10, 11.
Oh, wow.
It's like 12 hours, yeah. I think 12 or 15 hours of material.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an all-day session.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, this is a real historic document. I think it really encapsulates the entire disclosure subject better than
the question, of course, I guess we all have is, where do we go from here?
Well, according to Steve Bassett, we're going to be doing the the latest White House initiative. Of course, I think his second go-around here, he's not put the word extraterrestrial in there, if I remember correctly.
The first one got... a decent number of people signed
it.
The White House got their third assistant flunky to sign off and say, there's no evidence that UFOs are spaceships. Goodbye.
Exactly.
And so many words.
Yeah.
So they have a second one now, which is trying to look into the Rockefeller Initiative, Lawrence
Correct.
Rockefeller,
right.
Who was a philanthropist, of course, part of the famed Rockefeller family, who got interested in UFOs late in his life and put money where his mouth was.
He did, and he actually put money where my mouth was as well for 2 years, so I was pretty fortunate.
We'll have to get into that and more. We're live on the scene at the International UFO Congress. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Steve Jobs, the best-selling authorized biography from Walter Isaacson. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast. You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes. Whoa!
Last year, when we were at this particular event, we interviewed Richard Dolan, who's one half of the writing team of a book called After Disclosure. So it was fitting that we get the other half of that writing team, Bryce Zabel. But Bryce, welcome first to the Paracast. We're glad to have you aboard. And the first question I'm going to ask here is, how do you make it from producer to author, especially about UFO-related stuff?
It is a transition, but on the other hand, it's kind of puts me in a place where I've been heading all my career. I started writing a UFO movie back in the 80s because I thought it was a great story, but I like to do my research, and as I began to research the content of that movie, which later was aired on the Sci-Fi Channel as Official Denial, I realized that there was a lot more to this than meets the eye, and in fact that it was likely true. At least the big picture was true, if not all the details. And once you realize that, as you guys well know and as your listeners know, you can't go away from that. You have to follow that thread. So I was lucky enough to write some projects that actually got made on this topic, and I continue to do that, and now I'm kind of living on both sides of the fence.
The TV series Dark Skies.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite TV shows. I was bummed when it went off the air.
Not as bummed as we were.
I bet.
Because
really
so many people have to work so hard to make a television series. But I look back on the making of Dark Skies and think how incredible it was that we got a establishment U.S. television network to give us $40 million to make something as subversive as Dark Skies, which basically in its pilot argues that John F. Kennedy was going to disclose the truth of UFOs in his second term and had that cut short. So the whole series is sort of a debate about disclosure, with the leader of Majestic 12 being one of the characters who says basically the people can't handle the truth, and the young recruit into the organization, the John Lowengard character, basically saying the people have a right to know. And what's interesting about disclosure debate there is that that's a fair fight. It is possible to say at the same time, with complete truth, the people can't handle the truth, and the people have a right to know. These are kind of mutually exclusive, and yet they're legitimate points of view.
Which network did this go on?
NBC.
NBC. Right.
And
this is a time, what year was this now?
It went on the air in 96 and finished in 97.
Was this during the Seinfeld era?
Well, Seinfeld was still on. The thing about it that makes it current now is that I always wanted it to get out on DVD so people could see it, because the truth is it aired before the rise of DVRs, and so I don't know about you guys or your listeners, but most people don't try to stay home on Saturday night. They try to go out to dinner with friends or go to parties or whatever. They're not home to follow a television series regularly.
Nowadays, you see, Saturday is death for a TV show.
Totally.
You take the show that's been canceled, and you have four episodes in the can.
Yeah.
Like The Firm, based on the John Grisham novel. That series, now you see it on Saturday because it's been canceled. It got terrible ratings. There you go.
Well, I have to say, though, Dark Skies got on NBC with them attempting to turn Saturday night into something real.
Ah.
They called it the Thrillogy, and they had three series in a row, and they were trying to make Saturday night appointment viewing for a whole generation of viewers, but it doesn't work. And now it might have. So for 14 years, I have been trying to get this thing released, and finally, last year, 2011, the Dark Skies series finally came out on DVD, all 20 hours of it, including two versions of the pilot that were shot for very interesting reasons, including all the extras and the goodies and the behind-the-scenes stuff. So I finally feel like we did it right, and it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, did you have a proper ending at the end of the season?
Proper enough. I knew that we were probably not coming back, so I gave it a strong degree of closure for that season, but left the door open, obviously, to continue it on, and it hurts very much that we never did get to finish it.
What about like a movie of the week at Sci-Fi Channel? Is that something that could ever happen?
I would love for that to happen, and I think a lot of other creators and developers of television series that are prematurely canceled would like to see that happen.
Well, it happened with Farscape. Farscape got knocked after, what, 4 years or 3 years?
It's rare, though. I've certainly argued and tried to pitch for this, and people have been resistant. Particularly, I think the Sci-Fi Channel, by the way, could have an entire business model where they allowed all these great sci-fi sci-fi series
to come back for two hours.
I did another show called The Crow Stairway to Heaven, which also had the same problem, had to end after a season, and it would be incredibly interesting to bring that cast back together and reinterpret and give it a proper closure. Give it some fun and make it a finale that's meaningful.
Well, right now the Sci-Fi Channel on Saturday night, they have these grade C movies.
Well,
to be blunt about it.
Yeah,
it'd be nice.
They do. Because their model for those kind of movies is to spend almost nothing on them.
Right. Of course.
And
they may get one actor that you recognize from a genre series.
Well, let me put it this way. I'd be more likely to succeed with a repremising of Dark Skies by going to Sony, who still owns the show, and pitching them the feature film version of it than I would to get them to let me do a TV version of it to wrap it up.
So it would be get $40 million and make a $40 million movie.
Yeah,
which wouldn't be expensive.
I mean, imagine we spent.
But it could be done.
We spent six million dollars on the Dark Skies pilot, which was a lot for a pilot.
This is the 1990s. Understand also. Let me put our listeners in perspective. $40 million in the 1990s is like $100-$120 million now.
Whatever, you know, I don't know how it converts, but it was a lot.
Yeah,
and
sure.
we were able to do good work, and that pilot is it was a period piece, takes place in the 1960s. That's cars and costumes and hairstyles. But it looks beautiful and it holds up so well today. But it would be very interesting to recast it with feature film quality actors, although our actors were
very good.
Very good.
And all our listeners, because, you know, I think a lot of listeners don't remember a 15-year-old TV show.
Of course not.
Who was in it? People you recognize. Some of these people you know from other series.
The young couple on the run was Eric Close and Megan Ward. More people are familiar with Eric Close. He did, I think, almost 11 years on Without a Trace.
Right.
He's played on that CIA series a year or so ago. He's been on series. He works constantly. The person people remember very clearly was the leader of Majestic 12, Frank Bach, played by J.T. Walsh, a fabulous feature film character actor. You've seen him in 1,000 things. From Outbreak to Nixon to
A Few Good Men. He played this crazy guy who blows the whistle on Jack Nicholson's character.
And he was a scary guy on camera and in person.
Oh.
He died after the Dark Skies series concluded about a month or two later.
Uh-huh.
But he was a very... the intensity he had as a human being, let me put that as artfully as possible, the intensity he had as a human being translated into a sort of a tightly coiled presence on camera
that had a very
sense of menace to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think people that watch the entire series really do enjoy the back and forth and the battle between the Lone Guard and the Bach character.
We have Bryce Abel. We're talking about the expired TV series Dark Skies and what went on in a series that was canceled before its time. You're with Gene and Chris on location. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
Back in the Paracast on scene at the UFO, International UFO Congress, where we have the award-winning filmmaker, Christopher O'Brien.
I'm embarrassed.
Yes, he is.
I'm sitting here next to one of my heroes here. You're embarrassing me.
I gave you a standing ovation last night.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was well-deserved and a great project.
Thank you. Yeah, Ron did a great job, and Jennifer, too. I mean, it was a labor of love. But one thing I want to mention, Bryce, when I was in the thick of an intense UFO wave in the San Luis Valley. 96 was probably the most intense year that I investigated. At one point, 17 cases came in one day, just to give you an idea of how intense it was.
That's intense.
When your show came on, I thought to myself, these guys are way ahead of the curve. I'm not sure if the audience is gonna be able to accept this, the whole premise. And I was so excited about the show, and I think you were about 10 years ahead of your time. I think it was almost too much for some people to wrap their heads around. And I think if a show like that had come out in, let's say, 10 years later, it would have been a huge smash hit. I don't care what night it was on, because you had the X-File thing kind of taken off, and people were starting to get aware of the more deeper, darker, sinister aspects of Disclosure and the related subjects that Dark Skies covered. But I think a show in a feature film like that would be huge right now. I really do.
Well, also, you bring up a good point about The X-Files, which is a phenomenally terrific and successful show. We happened to be coming out around the time The X-Files was also on, and so our core audience that should have embraced Dark Skies, because it was hardly a copy of The X-Files.
Oh, no
it
way.
Was completely
no,
different.
Totally different.
But some of our people who would normally be counted upon to support us fans have a way of choosing sides. And so there was a sense that they had to choose their favorite already of the X-Files. And I think what time has done for us and the DVD release has allowed people to see them as completely distinct and separate products.
It was apples and oranges, no
absolutely.
Question.
But it was a subversive show because, just to lay the concept out a little cleaner, here we have a situation taking place in the 1960s where all of the 60s historical currents are woven into the UFO mystery. So we had episodes that dealt with Vietnam, the civil rights movement, even Beatlemania. We had John Lennon in the series.
Oh, of course, I understand John Lennon saw a UFO.
Not only did he see a UFO, he was outspoken in interviews after having
seen that.
About how incredible it would be to society.
And he mentioned it in one of his songs.
Well, yeah.
There's UFOs over New York and nobody had seen
Strange Days Indeed.
Strange Days Indeed. And I ain't surprised, I think, is the line.
Right,
I ain't too surprised.
And what's interesting is that would have probably been a better sighting, except that when Lennon saw it, he was naked, standing
on his rooftop.
So here you have a UFO report, and John Lennon's naked on his rooftop and was historically known for certain drug use. So, of course, that was an easy one to bat down. And yet,
May Pang has come out and said without any shadow of a doubt. I mean, she shared the experience
with
him. Absolutely. I think it really happened. And, of course, who better for it to happen to than John Lennon?
Yeah.
We should mention also, for those who don't know the history, May Pang is this woman who replaced Yoko Ono.
At Yoko's behest, I might add.
For about a year or so.
Yeah, absolutely.
When Yoko and John were on the outs.
I met May Pang when I was working at ABC back in the 80s. Totally nice lady, and I enjoyed meeting her,
Let's move on and talk about your new project.
Yes.
This is really exciting. The little that I know about it, now I get to hear the full scoop here.
I've actually got two things that are sort of occupying my life right now. One is a book called AD After Disclosure. The movie that I'm trying to put together called Magic Men.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let us go ahead first and remind people about After Disclosure. This is a book that you wrote with Richard Dolan.
Yes.
And you assume in a certain thing that's going to happen that ultimately there will be some kind of revelation and or disclosure of UFO reality. And I think we should get into that because the movie that Chris won the award for, that's showing people discussing disclosure, most of whom accept the possibility, as I gather you. You expect at this point the government has guilty knowledge about UFO reality, right?
Well, I do, but I would back off it slightly and say that the way I would define disclosure is simply that someone who seems to be in an official capacity, whether it be a president, a prime minister, or a pope, simply acknowledge a basic fact that some of these things that are flying around in the skies, not all of them, some of them are from someplace that isn't here, and they're advanced technology flown by somebody that isn't us.
Right.
All right. That's a pretty basic consensus kind of view.
That's a good way to put it.
But that if we acknowledge that or are forced to acknowledge it, I don't think anyone's behind the scenes is planning some big announcement. But if events cause it to be something that's on everybody's mind and some kind of acknowledgement does happen, Richard Dolan and I wrote what we feel is the Rand Corporation version of analyzing how that would change the world.
Okay, well, obviously, we can see where the opposition would be.
Yes.
People who do not want that to happen, not just organized religion, but the oil industry, industries of all kinds would be impacted because overnight they are rendered obsolete.
As my friend Richard Dolan says, the one thing you can say about these craft flying around is they're not flying around on gasoline.
Yeah.
So that does revolutionize things. Once you realize they're from someplace that isn't here, they've got a power source that isn't ours.
Right.
Well, the other issue, of course, is how far the government has gone in learning anything. Obviously, the consideration is national security, a number one numero uno. Now, the other thing you wonder about is, how would they keep it a secret if it is a secret? Would they funnel it into private industry where then it's not easy to track?
You know, we think so because one of the things that the Freedom of Information Act has taught us is that some of those early documents from the 40s and the 50s, even into the 60s, are pretty damning documents. They prove that at the same time the government and military officials are denying that UFOs can have any credibility at all. They're taking them very credibly behind the
scenes. The Twining memo.
That's right.
A smoking gun.
Who says Twining, the general in charge of the Air Force Material Command, said the phenomenon is something real and not fictitious. So clearly there's that.
Now the other issue, of course, is the fakeries.
Yes.
We have
MK-12, many of which are deemed fake, some of which may be true, but yes. We have controversy. Stanton Friedman will say it's true. Kevin Randall will say it's not true.
Right.
What's your take on that?
Well, as a dramatist, I take it that it's true. In other words, I made Majestic 12 a key part of the Dark Skies mythology.
Because no, we understand that.
I felt that was good, and I'm using it in Magic Men. What do I personally think? I think Stanton Friedman is one of the most dogged researchers of documents I've ever met, and I give a lot of credit to Stanton for finding elements that disprove some of the skeptical counter-arguments. If I had to guess, I would say that the Eisenhower briefing memo that people may or may not know about, I put that one as real, and I put some of the later ones as possibly not real.
It would follow then that maybe the government possibly invented a few documents to hide the real one.
Might. And also, I think it's very true. If you think about it, World War II created an entire cottage industry of people who were good at disinformation. I mean, that was what they had to do in order to win the war. And a lot of those people were still in the military or accessible to the military during the time of Roswell and probably came aboard and helped create that situation.
And we have to assume also here that you accept the reality of Roswell.
I do.
Okay.
I do because I have read enough about it where it's – I'll tell you one thing I don't accept. I don't accept it was a weather balloon. I mean, you better come up with some radical counter-explanations to the weather balloon regardless. The one thing that sort of transitions us here is the two people we've talked about, Stanton Friedman and Donald Schmidt, who both competed to break the Roswell story, are people whose life stories I've optioned as well as their books on Stanton Friedman's top secret magic about the Majestic 12 documents and Don Schmidt's Witness to Roswell about the Roswell investigation. I think these two guys have done a very good job of proving their case. Don Schmidt in particular has interviewed so many people at such depth that it isn't that there's one single person, although there are some like that, but it's more the mosaic that these 300 witnesses create of a Roswell-based panic to get something handled.
Bryce Abel joining us with Gene and Chris on location. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Listeners are discovering a simple way to earn money. We're talking quit your nowhere job and work from home type of money. IncomeAtHome19.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home. Listen to this.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs and we're both at home full time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
Listeners, IncomeAtHome19.com is A-plus rated for their business ethics. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company, and they do business in over 75 countries. No selling soap, no pressure, no cold calling. They bring money-making opportunities to your computer, either full or part-time. If you're ready to make a change and start earning money from home, go to IncomeAtHome19.com now. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome19.com. IncomeAtHome19.com. That's IncomeAtHome19.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yield with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Bryce Zabel joining us on location at the International UFO Congress just outside of Scottsdale, Arizona, with Gene and Chris. We are all in one room, a press room.
Yeah, this is fun. I like this, Gene.
Can I try one thing?
Yeah.
The Paracast. Does that work? All
that
right.
Great.
How was that?
As a matter of fact, we're going to record that, and we're going to make it a ringtone. The ringtone I have, by the way, right now.
I live for that. That's fantastic.
You like ringtones?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. While you're talking,
to be a ringtone is...
I'm going to play my ringtone.
It gets no better than that.
As we talk about this.
Yes.
Now, we're talking, obviously, about you putting things together. You're trying to create...
Sure.
Science fiction. Good quality science fiction. You're entertaining people, but you're using... a factual basis.
Right.
Which is very important. And when people call me on the phone, they change my ringtone.
Well.
They change my ringtone. That is not my ringtone.
We're going to change your ringtone.
That's
here.
Right.
So
that's
there.
Right. That's right. This is a conspiracy.
As long as they don't ring your bell, Gene.
Yes.
That's right. The conspiracy.
There you go.
There you go.
I really don't think that's your ringtone, though.
No, it's not my ringtone.
But
it's,
I like it. I like it. Don't get me wrong.
It's only rock and roll.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, let's talk about this now.
Yes.
Okay, so there are basic assumptions in your mind that you're taking real events or what you perceive to
sure.
be real events. You're now going to try to develop a science fiction movie, a quality science fiction movie. And this isn't easy because there's a tendency in Hollywood, as you know more than I do, a lot more, to just... overproduce the special effects, overwhelm the senses. We got to have the 3D. You know, years ago it was just getting the 8 channels, you know, in the movie theater, whatever it was, the THX sound, and now it's got to be the 3D, which can be good, bad, or ugly depending on the film. So, in thinking about this, not just the plot, we'll get into the concept of the story, but also in the production values. How do you get away with a science fiction movie not being a $200 million extravaganza anymore?
Well, in the case of Magic Men, you don't call it a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
You call it a
docudrama.
Call it a dramatic movie based on real events, which is how I look at it. I think there's enough people doing alien science fiction movies.
Right.
There's been thousands done, it seems like, since the 50s, that I don't have to... I think there is room for the counter-programming, where someone takes something based on the true ufological events that have have occurred and gives them a vibrant life that will, of course, use special effects to bring to life some of these accounts, but that's not what it's about. If you look at Magic Men, M-A-J-I-C, by the way, Magic Men, it is not a science fiction movie as much as it's a telling and a visualization of the race to break the Roswell story. And that, to me, is a combination of All the President's Men and JFK, and nobody would accuse them of being science fiction
movies. A little China syndrome thrown in there, too.
I think what we're looking to try to do is create the crossover event movie that has not occurred in ufology and that needs to occur.
Yeah.
Okay, you've heard, of course, about the Dream Team that Kevin Randall...
I heard that Don and Kevin are talking again, which is kind of a crazy concept, given what I know about how they broke up, but sure.
Okay, well, understand, we had a couple of episodes of the PowerCast where we had Kevin Randall on. We also had Jim Moseley,
mm-hmm.
the famous saucer smear guy, who believes to this day it's a balloon.
Yeah. Oh, he'll hang on.
He'll hang on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully that end won't be coming soon. Yeah. You know, he's getting on there in years, but hopefully it won't be for a long while.
It wasn't a balloon. Yeah.
It wasn't a balloon. Okay. So this kind of film, getting the muckety-mucks in Hollywood to accept anything, to green light anything, has to be an amazing miracle, and then getting them not to tamper with the story.
Well, those are two separate challenges. But I don't think it's hard to get someone to green light something that's of quality. If you have a compelling story of quality. So I think the story of Breaking Roswell has global significance, and therefore a studio could see it airing in China or anywhere around the world. So that would make it more likely for them to want it. I think that they can see a reason to greenlight a story of this kind. And the other part, I forgot what the other part was.
The other part, of course, is keeping too many
Hollywood
cooks.
From tampering.
Oh, keeping from tampering. Well, yeah. Look, here's the thing. I've been rewritten. I've rewritten people. I've had really bad experiences. I've had really good experiences. I'm just trusting my instincts and my gut to find the right team to try to bring this story to fruition. I'm a collaborator at heart on this. I feel like if the right director, for example, or the right studio or the right production company came in to partner to bring this vision to the screen, I'd want to hear what their notes were.
Yeah, good ideas are good ideas.
Yeah, I would. Anything that it is true, though, once you sell it or option it to somebody, then they get to do it their way. So you better like and trust the people who you've gotten in business with. And I hope to do that.
Well, maybe also getting a proper director to help you.
Yeah. Right. But, I mean, again, that's possible. I think, though, the first place I go is I've got to lay out a compelling, dramatic story that only tangentially is about UFOs, that it's about the characters of Don Schmidt and Stanton Friedman, and also in our film, also about Congressman Stephen Schiff. It's about these people trying to investigate Roswell, facing the same kind of obstacles that, say, Woodward and Bernstein face, and their bots, Ben Bradley, and try to tell it from a very human point of view and try to tell it from a mystery that's being, you know, broken apart.
Stephen Greer has mentioned publicly, even and privately, that he suspects that the rapid demise and death of Congressman Schiff may have been some nefarious elements involved in that. How are you going to come down on that?
I think, let's state the fact, Congressman Stephen Schiff was the first official congressperson who was attempting to have the Roswell case investigated because it occurred in his district, and he felt his constituents would want him to look into it.
Tell our listeners more about his life story. Stephen Schiff
was a prosecutor. Okay, so he's a guy that believed in going to crime scenes, who believed in getting facts, who believed in getting witnesses to put it in writing, and incredible witnesses, who didn't believe in second and third hand, but first hand. Right. He's an interesting guy. He ends up investigating, asking the General Accounting Office to investigate, asking the U.S. Air Force to investigate. He gets stonewalled. He gets angry. Yeah. And guess what? At the age of 51, I believe it is, still a young man, he gets a raging, fast-acting cancer and dies.
And what year is this?
He dies in 98, I believe.
The same year that Sherry Adamack died, and the same year that Stephen Greer developed melanoma as well. So, I mean, Greer seems to think that the three of them caught it all around the same time.
Of course, can we take Greer?
I was around. I watched Sherry disappear from...
No, I understand that. Yeah. The question is, Greer is hard to take.
If you're asking, though, what point of view will the film have?
That was my question.
You know, I think the answer is... The film doesn't have to say, I'm not going to write into the film scenes of Congressman Schiff being given cancer as that would exist.
But you can hint around at that possibility.
I'm going to raise questions, and I will say this. Congressman Schiff, Stanton Friedman, and Don Schmidt all talked. Schiff was a person, you know, the dramatic license of our film is to see that Schiff is, you know, see scenes where Schiff is involved, and then to simply acknowledge the truth. The man died of cancer.
Galloping
cancer.
Melanoma.
It was melanoma.
Yeah. Yeah. I can do
it. Very fast action.
Very fast.
And I think we'll leave.
Sherry Adamack died of the exact same thing within weeks.
If we just say Stephen Greer had.
His surgeon buddies have been cutting it out for years. And it was bilateral, too. Which
sure.
Is very. Doesn't
normally. Now, does Greer believe that there was something sinister? Or just
absolutely.
Nature?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
How would... Okay, he's obviously a physician. Again, like I said, in the past, we have not taken him seriously because some things are really
absolutely
over the top.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, CSETI, stuff like he does, really, really over the top, and you have concerns about it, and, you know, I'm not going to...
Which is why he's not a character in this movie.
Okay, well, that explains a lot. But okay, so he thinks there's something sinister, so how do you go ahead and give somebody cancer? Do you just inject cells?
No, I've done a little bit of research on this, and there really is no acknowledged way of doing it. But of course, you hear stories about the abilities of directed microwaves and other sort of energy weapon type stuff that could, in theory, manifest that sort of condition. But I don't think, I think it's beyond coincidental that the three of them should get the same type of cancer, you know, virtually at the same time.
You don't assume that with cancer that you just breathe the wrong thing and suddenly you get cancer.
No. But on the other hand, that is a level of implication I don't think the film has.
The film has.
So you wouldn't want to do that.
What I want to do with the film is I want to introduce Don and Stan as living, breathing, vibrant characters who are flawed characters. Right. If you know the two of them, you know they're very different people, and you know how hard they fought against each other. We want to capture that. And we want to capture, if you think about it, the nation had Watergate to investigate. We got Woodward and Bernstein in the Washington Post. Now, let's take the potential of the UFO cover-up, which is a really big issue. And what do we get? We get a retired nuclear physicist and a postal worker.
Bryce Dable joining us. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.